How many remember hearing that song by Kansas? This goes back to the 70s. How long to the point of no return? And it was actually K-N-O-W, but in the lyrics it was no N-O. How long till the point of no return? And you know, that song used to haunt me. Even though I wasn't walking with God, I used to listen to that, and I used to think about just the picture on the front of that album, and it has a ship going off, if you will, the edge of the earth. Remember, they used to think the earth was flat, and Columbus discovered that the world was round. I heard that somewhere, I don't know. But all they had to do is look in the Bible. It says he sits on the circle of the earth, amen? But anyways, we know the world is not flat. However, it was showing this ship getting ready to go off, if you will, the point of no return. It was just a drop off where the water went down and into oblivion or who knows what. But you know, folks, I was thinking about that when I was just preparing this and how it kind of came to me that God is a God of great compassion, of great mercy. His love is beyond anything we can really comprehend. His peace is beyond our understanding. His joy is something that we cannot express adequately in words. But God is greater than our understanding. His ways are higher than our understanding. God's ways are way higher than our ways. And His love and His mercy is so great that it's a good thing that you and I are not God. Because I think there'd be some smoked people out there right now. And I might be one of those smoked people too. But you know, as great as our Father's love is and His mercy, how many know that God also has limits to His mercy as well? We're going to talk about that today. That God told Noah in his day that He would not strive with man forever. So I want you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. What we need to understand is that the absence of the Spirit of the Lord is the equivalent to a sentence of death upon mankind. Why is that? Because life is found in the Spirit of God. And when God no longer strives with an individual or society, then death is the inevitable result. A soul, a person, an individual who has not been regenerated by Christ is already dead. How many know that's true? When we were dead in our sins and trespasses, Christ came, amen? Christ died. Christ rose. But though God is merciful, all who continue to live, I want you to hear this, in sin will be judged. Why is that? Because God is a judge, but He is a just judge. And therefore, the wages of sin is death. The consequence for our sin or our rebellion is death. Because God is just, there has to be a just judgment upon every crime that is committed. Has anybody here ever committed a crime? I saw about three hands go up, so okay. Sure. And before we begin reading with verse 1, Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says this, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen." Sometimes we wait until we see something to obey God. "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God was not going to pour out his wrath, his judgment upon the world of the ungodly until Noah had come to alignment with his will to prepare an ark to the saving of his family. The Bible says in 2 Peter that only 8 souls were saved aboard the ark. Only 8 souls. And in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now there's several schools of thought here. One is that this is talking about Cain's offspring mingling with those of, it would have been Seth. But then it says here that they took beautiful wives for themselves of all whom they chose. But there are others who have the thought of this being the Nephilim, the sons of God, being a fallen angel, if you will, who went unto the daughters of men and they created this Nephilim, which are these giants. And I don't know how much fact there is to this. Some of this is conjecture. It's interesting to look at. I'm not going to make a point of contention over this. What you want to believe here. But the bottom line here is that the earth was corrupted. It was extremely wicked. And God looked upon it. And because God is just, God had to step in and he had to do something because it was only getting worse and worse. And the reason why things were getting as bad as they were is because men were living hundreds and hundreds of years on the earth. And the longer that they lived, the more exceedingly wicked they had the potential of becoming. And there are those who believe that the seed of man was being corrupted from the very beginning. Because in the beginning, when God had spoken to Adam, and he spoke to Eve. He said the seed of the woman would crush, amen, the head of the serpent. He was speaking about Christ who would come through the line, all right, from Adam all the way down to the time he was born in a manger. And there are those who believe that Satan had a plan to try to pervert or corrupt the seed of humanity so that the seed would be destroyed, and therefore God's plan of redemption would not come in. Again, I'm not going to make a point of contention about this. What we do know is that the world was exceedingly corrupt. God looked upon it. However, he found this one man. His name was Noah, and he had found grace in the sight of the Lord. In verse 3 it says, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever." What does that say? That implies that God has a limit to his grace. He says, "For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants," here it is, "on the earth in those days." I don't know how much fact there is to this, but there's some interesting stuff on the internet where if you put in Nephilim and giants, they're showing archaeological places in Iran and other areas in the earth where they're finding these bones, these skeletons that are some of them 20 to 22 feet tall. Yeah. And so you have to kind of be careful with some of these things because sometimes they're hoaxes. But to me, they look pretty convincing. There are many, many graves and sites that they're showing people. They have one man holding a femur that's almost 6 feet tall. Wow. And there are others who believe, you know, that these are the Nephilim, that the Bible talks about these giants. Now, we know the Bible talks about, at least there's 6 giants, I believe there's 6, that are mentioned in the Old Testament, who were men of renown. They were these very large people. And of course, the most famous one of all is what? Goliath. Goliath. Boom. Boom. But the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man And this implies, first of all, that God's Spirit does strive with man. Two, that men resist the Spirit of God. And also, thirdly, that there is a point of no return. That word strive means to contend or plead the cause of. How many know that the Spirit of God pleads with humanity? He pleads with us. Be reconciled to God. Be saved. Be healed. Be restored to fellowship with God. He pleads with us. Stop your sinning. Repent of your sin. Give your life to Jesus. How do we know when the Spirit of God strives with us? Number one, when we find our attention on the great concerns of our soul, we start to take introspection. We start to take a look at things. We start to be concerned all of a sudden about what's it like between me and God? Where do I stand with God? Is my heart right with God? Secondly, we become convinced of our sin and our need of cleansing. Is it not the Holy Spirit who convinces us of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness? When we become convicted of guilt before God. Folks, guilt is not always a bad thing. Sometimes people need to feel guilty. Hello. Did you not feel guilty when you came to Jesus? Is it not the godly sorrow that works repentance, not to be regretted? Where is godly sorrow today? We're offering people this easy believism, just to kind of, you know, say this prayer after me, and it's like you have a little pocket Jesus that you take with you. How many know that He's Lord? That He's Master? That He's God? That He's Lord of all? That every knee is going to bow to Him? Every tongue will confess He is Lord. He is Lord of heaven. He is Lord of earth. He is Lord even of those things under the earth. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He is overcome. He is our great high priest at the right hand of God the Father. And we know that God is striving with us when we come to the realization, and this is where it has to come, folks. We have to come to the place where we realize that we are truly lost. If people do not realize they are lost, then what can happen is they will have a false conversion. I believe there are many false conversions in the church. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We receive a new heart, a new identity, new desires. Desires that want to serve the Lord. Desires that want to worship the Lord. Desires that want to please the Lord. The desires to love God and to love and serve others. This is the heart of God. But there are many, I believe, false conversions that people have been offered salvation apart from repentance. Folks, I want you to know today that salvation is dependent upon an individual truly repenting from their heart and surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. How many know that repentance and forgiveness go together? Unless a man repents, he will perish. Unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom. Something takes place when an individual is truly born of the Spirit that transforms the mind and the heart and begins to shift you into a new reality, which is not a new reality, but is the truth, which is what's really real. Before we knew Christ, before actually we were known of Him, we walked in deception and in lies. And we walked according to our own imagination, according to our own heart, according to our own ways, until the Spirit of God came in and began to reveal to us that we were lost, that we were wandering in a place that was not good, that we were actually living in death when we thought that we were really living. The devil wants you to rejoice in death. God exalts life. We're seeing today a culture of death, especially among the young people. Black skulls, death, morbid stuff, vampirism, occult, all generations, but especially the enemy is targeting our children, our young people today, to exalt and celebrate death. Why would we celebrate death when we can walk in life? You're not going to find life in death. You're not going to find the living among the dead, as the angel said at the resurrection. Amen? Dead places, dead things, dead thoughts, dead words, dead actions. We now walk in new life. We bear fruit unto eternal life. We rejoice in hope of what God has promised for us in Him. God's Spirit, He says, will not always strive. He's not going to strive forever. There is a limit. There is a point of no return. And why is that? Why will God's Spirit not always strive with man? Well, how many know that God knows the hearts of all people? How many know God knew Pharaoh's heart? He knew that Pharaoh had hardened his heart, that Pharaoh was not going to bend, and therefore God says, okay, I'll just use you for my purposes. How many know that the same thing happens to people today, folks? That there comes a place, there comes a time in certain individuals' lives, if they continue to resist the Spirit of God, that God says, okay, have it your way. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. Why will God's Spirit not always strive with man? Because people sin willfully when they resist the Holy Spirit. I believe judgment will be worse for those who knew their master's will and did nothing. Amen. Than those who did not know. God is just. God will not strive always with man because there is a time that He appoints, that He sets for judgment. There will be a judgment. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We are all going before, amen, to judgment. The good news is this. This is the good news of the gospel. That if you will repent, you can have your sins blotted out. You can have that dealt with now because we have, hallelujah, a defense attorney, amen? An advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're willing to repent, truly repent of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us because He wants to. He's not willing that anyone should perish. What are the consequences of God's Spirit ceasing to strive with man? One of the first consequences, folks, I want you to hear this morning, of people continuing to resist the Spirit of God when He is calling you to repent, when He is warning you about something and you continue to resist His voice, what happens is your heart becomes hardened. Your heart is like a muscle. It can become calloused. And when your heart becomes hardened, you're not hearing the voice of God anymore. You don't fear the Lord anymore. The things that you once blushed about don't bother you anymore. The things that used to grieve you don't bother you anymore. People can live in open sin and rebellion and yet claim to be followers of Jesus. Folks, they are living and practicing a lie. God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. In the Amplified, it says in this, And so, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of Him or consider Him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome. And so the corruption in the world is due to the rebellion in the heart of man who refuses to worship God, who refuses to listen to God, who will refuse Him who is speaking from heaven. Are you hearing me today? And those who claim to be followers of Jesus need to cease from doing evil. Those who claim to be followers of Jesus are going to produce the fruit that demonstrates that their faith is a reality. Reality is truth. That they are truly walking in God. There are many people who claim to be followers of Jesus, but their life demonstrates a lie. It reveals something else, folks. Do not be deceived. Do not believe a lie as though it were true. Don't believe that there are no consequences just because you're getting away with it now. Doesn't mean that there are consequences that are coming down the pike, and if you do not repent in the time that God is giving you opportunity to repent, guess what? It's going to catch up to you. Sometimes God will protect you from something that you've sown because you've had a repentant attitude towards God. Because you were sorry before God and said, God, I'm sorry enough that I'm not going to do it again. Where is the fear of God? I meet a lot of young people, not just young people, old people too. But I talk to people and they claim to be Christians and they're just living like the devil. They're caught up in all kinds of bondage. They're cussing out this side of the mouth and praising the Lord out of this side of the mouth. A tree is known by its fruit. False conversions. Folks, I want to tell you that I was one of those false conversions. I was one of those. I thought by association I was kind of like a shoe-in to the kingdom. Because I had Christian family, I had Christian parents. That kind of automatically made me one, you know, because I went to church and I did church stuff. I was deluded in my thinking. I was deceived. I was believing a lie. It wasn't true. I had not been born again. And one of the evidences of truly being born again is the fear of the Lord that will keep you to know that you are in His presence. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is in you. When Christ is in you, it changes the way that you live. Hello? It changes the way that you think. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it changes the way that you think. And you know when you blow it. But when you blow it, you know that you also have someone that's there for you. That you can call on. Folks, we need to practice living in repentance. And so it's because people choose not to acknowledge God or approve of Him that God gives them over. It says basically He's saying, okay, if you continue to refuse Me, you know, I've been pleading with you, I've been asking you to come to Me, I want to forgive you, I want to cleanse you, but God has a limit, folks. There is a point of no return. And there are some people that have stepped over that line, folks. And when you step over that line, you end up with a reprobate mind. And no matter what you say, no matter how you package it, they're not going to get it. Unless the Spirit of the Lord reveals it to them. And the Spirit of the Lord pleads. And so, because we also, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. to repent of their sin, to turn to Jesus Christ. You've got to know you're a sinner before you can repent, truly repent of your sin. Another issue, a seared conscience. It's another result, folks, when God stops striving with us. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Oh, you mean people can depart from the faith? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That deceiving spirits is counterfeit spirits. There are those that impersonate the Holy Spirit, but they're actually demons. Satan himself appears as an angel of light. Often the devil appears as something wonderful and bright and beautiful and friendly. He's not always this ugly horned red thing or a black thing with fangs, folks. He is a beautiful angel that fell. And he can appear in different forms. And that's why we need to pray for discernment, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing that on the outward appearance they look just like one of the best Christians you'll ever meet. But there are those who are going to fall away from the truth because they are giving heed to something that is impersonating the Holy Spirit, which is not the true Jesus of the Bible. Amen? It is a sensual and a devilish approach, working on and manipulating the emotions of people to gain control so that they can dominate and create a following after themselves so that they themselves will sit as God. Are you hearing me today? Paul the Apostle said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." You follow your spiritual leaders as you know they are following the Lord. But folks, how are you going to know they're following the Lord unless you pray and you're in the Word of God? Yes. Unless you ask God to give you discernment about all things, even what I say. Yes. Speaking lies, what do you mean? That's right. Okay. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And that word seared means rendered useless. Your conscience can become insensitive to the point where no longer are you bothered by things that used to bother you. How is it that even children today are going around blowing each other away with no remorse? Already, young children with no conscience. I've talked to people that were in gangs, and they said it's the children that are the most dangerous. They fear the kids most. A kid with a gun is probably the most dangerous. Because we're raising up a society of children that have no knowledge of God, no fear of God. They've learned everything off the street. And when they once had a conscience, because the Bible says that when they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God. If you ask young children, usually they have some concept that there's responsibility here for me somewhere. I don't go around hitting people. It's not the right thing to do. I don't steal from people. It's not right to do. You don't have to be told that. You know that because you're born with a knowledge of God in you already. And it's called your conscience that bears witness. Amen. But if we continue to resist the Spirit of God, then that conscience can become seared or rendered useless. And then people do things that you're blown away by. And you say, how could they do that? Because their conscience has been rendered insensitive. And thirdly, those who continue to resist the Spirit of God, there is certain damnation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. That's speaking here of those who refuse the love of God, the love of the truth, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those who continue to resist the Lord will face His judgment. Do not be deceived. There is a such thing as a point of no return. It is time even for God's people to wake up out of slumber, to return to their first love, to fall in love with Jesus all over again, to recommit their days, their ways, their life, their future, everything into God's hands. Whatever God has, He can bless. Amen. If you want to know the joy of the Lord, you've got to walk with Him who is joy. Amen. And forsake your own way. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 1 it says, there were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is saying that tragedy happens, amen? Things happen, and people think that because they're righteous in themselves and they compare themselves to others, that somehow, and when tragedy strikes or somebody has a bad thing happen to them, it must be because they're just worse sinners than I am. How many know that bad things happen to good people? How many know that it rains on the just and the unjust? How many know that in this world you'll have tribulation? But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. But isn't it true that sometimes we like to give ourselves grace? And we do that by comparing ourselves with others. Like the publican, you know, and the Pharisee. As the Pharisee said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. How many know that our righteousness is not of us? The righteousness that is required for us to stand before God spotless is not the righteousness we give ourselves. It's not the grace we give ourselves. It's not us patting ourselves on the back and saying, you did a pretty good day today. You had a good day. You did a good job. God should like you enough now to welcome you into heaven, especially when He sees how Joe over there is acting and living. It's not the grace you give yourself. It's the righteousness that He gives. It's the grace that He imparts. Amen? It's His righteousness that we're able to stand before Him with. He's the one that gives us the garment of righteousness. He's the one that clothes us so that we will appear faultless before God. He said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know what, folks? We need to consider the great mercy of God to strive with us at all. For God so loved the world. God took the initiative. God gave His only begotten Son. His passion was poured out for us. He was so passionately in love with His creation, with you and I, that He went all the way to the brutal cross on our behalf. How great is the Father's love? How great God has demonstrated His love for us in the cross. Even when we were dead in sin, Christ took the initiative and He says, Father, I'll go. I'll take on the form of Adam. I'll take upon myself the form of a man. I'll become like Adam. He took a body. And He became the sinless sacrifice, the Lamb of God, given up for us. The guilty ones. and the guiltless one. He took our place. And so the Spirit of God is pleading today with us. He's pleading with mankind. This is a message that you and I have been given the responsibility of taking. Are you with me? Amen. Into the world. We are to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That God is giving and offering His kingdom. And He's saying, I'm willing to forgive your sins. I'm willing not only to cancel the debt, but to forget them as well. To blot out your sin. To blot it out completely. Hallelujah. How many know what it's like to have your sins blotted out? To have a clean heart. To have a shower on the inside. How many know what it's like to live a life that is free from guilt and shame? How many know that if you will obey the Spirit of the Lord, He will direct you. He will give you life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we must listen to the voice of God. In Hebrews 3 and 7 it says, today if you hear His voice. In other words, folks, there comes a time when people will no longer hear His voice. But if you hear the voice of God, is God speaking to someone in here this morning? Has God been speaking to you about the sin in your life and the rebellion towards Him? The things that He's told you, you need to repent of. You need to turn away from that thing. You need to forsake those thoughts and those thinking in that direction and dwelling on those things. If God is calling you away from something, I would caution you and advise you, you better listen to the voice of God while you're still hearing His voice. Because the time comes when you become seared and you become hardened and you no longer fear the Lord. We must listen to the voice of God. In Proverbs 12 and verse 15 it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Seemed good to me. Well, that may be good for you, but this is good for me. This works for me. But he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 3 and 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why do people go to hell? How many know there's a hell? There's a real hell. Just as much as there's a real heaven. Now, we don't want to offend anybody, so we don't speak about hell. Jesus spoke about hell. How many think we might have speak what Jesus spoke about? Yes. People go to hell, folks, because they refuse to listen to the voice of God. God does not force His will on us. God's not going to force you to get saved. God's not going to force you to repent. He's going to convict you and He's going to convince you that you need cleansing, that you need to repent of your sin, but He won't force you to do that. He gives you the option. He gives you the opportunity as a free choice of your will to choose to obey His voice. And if you obey His voice, you will be blessed. Because He wants to bless you. But you got to get into position for Him to bless you. If you don't humble yourself and to get into position for God to really bless your life, you tie His hands. Why? Because He will not violate your freedom of choice. You have a right to choose. You absolutely do have a right to choose. I know the world has gotten that and twisted that, but it's actually true. People have a right to choose. However, your choices do carry consequences. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, he said, not just for me, but my house too. My kids under my roof are going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. They didn't even have an option. But what I'm saying is that God gives us the invitation. He says, why will you die? Why will you continue to walk in death? When I'm giving you my life. When you can walk in new life. The Bible says Continuing here of chapter 6 of Genesis, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, verse 6, and he was grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did Noah find grace? Because Noah listened to the voice of God. Noah walked by faith, folks. He believed God, and it says he moved with godly fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his family. Folks, if you're hearing the voice of God today, God has been speaking, as I've been speaking to some of you today, and he's been pointing out some areas of your life, some sin, and some areas of rebellion. Even as I've been speaking, you know what I'm talking about. Would you bow your heads this morning? And this is not about me. This is you and Jesus this morning. Will you listen to the voice of the Lord? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing not only to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I have refused to listen to you, but I'm sorry enough today that I am determined that I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to your voice and I'm going to obey you. Ask the Lord today, God, I want you to give me a revelation of you to such a degree that I will fear you, to the degree that I will obey you, and I will truly repent from my heart. Will you ask him that? You see, Noah's faith was genuine because his actions demonstrated that. You can be convicted today, but not converted. Yes, this can be just another message where you felt conviction in your heart, but you can walk out of there unconverted. And unless you're converted, you're not going to see the kingdom. Unless you're born again, you shall not enter the kingdom. Unless you're willing to surrender and yield your life to Jesus. God's Spirit will not strive with you forever. There is a point of no return. How long to the point? God is striving with our nation, folks. Our nation is in the balance. How much longer, we don't know. God may be striving with you today. How much longer, only He knows. But will you say yes to Jesus today? Will you surrender your life to Jesus today? He's not going to strive forever. But there's mercy at the cross today if you will truly repent. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape him who refused him who spoke on earth, that's Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Are you hearing the voice of the Lord today? Take a moment right now, right where you're at. Say, Lord, shine your light into my heart. Jesus, give me revelation of where I stand with you today. Ask him, Lord, is my heart right with you? I want to get right with you today. And those things that the Lord has, He's given some of you, you've just been flashes of pictures in your mind of the things in your life that you're allowing that God has said no. Those are the things right now you need to renounce them before the Lord and ask Jesus to cleanse you and to set you free. Once you repent and truly repent, and that means you're willing to turn away from it, God will know you mean business with Him. And when you mean business with Him, He will intervene. And He will set you free. Do you want to be free? Just say, Jesus, I want to be free today. Set me free, Lord. Come into my life. Come into my heart, Jesus. Transform me. Make me a new creation. Lord, I want to be a brand new creation. I want to walk a new life. I want to know the joy of fellowship with you. I want to know your perfect peace in my heart and in my mind. I give you my heart, Lord, today. Be my Lord, Jesus. Be my Savior. Hallelujah. I want to ask that no one would look around. Just keep your heads, please, bowed and your eyes closed. Is anybody here today that just prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart? Just lift your hand. I want to be able to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, folks, if we refuse to make a choice, we've made a choice. But if God has been speaking to you, it's in the time that He strives with us, that He calls us, that He draws us. That's the time that we must respond. If you're here today and you're not right with God, the Bible says that the fear of man brings a snare. And I'm just getting this right now that there's someone here today that because of the fear of friends or fear of people, you are compromising your moral standards. You're compromising that which you know you're not supposed to do. Would you just right now say, Jesus, forgive me. Deliver me from the fear of man. I want to fear you. I want to listen to you. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. Lord, wash me, cleanse me from all my unfaithfulness. Purify me in your blood, Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit within me this day. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness. And I am free this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.